Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy Tuesday. I hope you're dry. It's a little moist out there, Paul.
Think of this as a free moisturizer.
Okay.
It's good for your skin, good for your complexion, good for your lawn. And it's not 95 with a heat index of 103. So I know it's not helping the traffic situation. It's like L.A., right? You add a little bit of rain and drizzle and suddenly the commute times triple. Mm-hmm. But it is what it is.
What I really want to talk about is summer vacation.
Oh.
I know we have to talk about immigration. And trust me, we will. We got a three-hour show here, folks. We will.
Yep.
But you know what? I got a call from the kids and they said, can I use your shower? The answer was yes. Why? Because they went outside in the rain and just had fun in the rain and ran around in the rain and threw water balloons at each other. And I said, that's summer vacation.
Yeah.
That's what you do on a rainy day in summer vacation.
Absolutely.
Because I'm on them, you know, to get off their video games and all that stuff. But they went outside. They threw water balloons at each other that are probably littered all over the lawn now. But they just had some fun in the rain.
Playing in the rain.
I want to hear more stories about people playing in the rain, yet we have to discuss people and children being detained at detention facilities.
You don't want to play in a thunderstorm, but there was no lightning.
No. There were
no thunder. It's just nice to see kind of a gentle rain out there, but glad your kids are outside making the most of it. Roll with the punches.
Get the heck out of my house.
Yeah.
Go play.
Go
get wet. Go get dirty. Do something. Get out of my house.
Get off your phone.
Anyway, I digress because we really do have a big show lined up for you.
We do. Lori Swanson is going to be joining us at 5:10. Mm-hmm. Of course, she's Minnesota's Attorney General. She, along with
for
other...
Now, she's also a gubernatorial candidate.
Right. She's still our AG. She joined with other attorneys general all across the nation, writing a letter in opposition to the current enforcement of the immigration policy. And I think there's still a lot of lingering confusion on the part of many people. You know, has the law changed? Is it a function of interpreting the law, enforcing the law?
And why is she not suing the Justice Department? But she's not. She's strongly recommending they change their policy or reverse the separation of children. So, of course, we're going to ask her about that, too.
Right. Dr. Lisa Herman is joining us at 5:20. She is a psychologist, an adolescent psychologist at Allina Health Clinics, and she's going to talk about the potential effects, the psychological effects of separating kids from their parents. Doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. Are there really issues there? Has this been overhyped? Mm-hmm. What happens when kids are separated, especially small children, and have no idea where they are, what's happening, where's mom, where's dad?
For any period of time, I'm curious about that, too, because these small children are currently being separated from their parents. So is this damage, you know, irreversible? I mean, are these kids always going to have a memory of this?
It's like PTSD. Some people have compared this to PTSD, and I don't know if that's a fair comparison.
That's why we're going to get some answers.
We'll find out. A little bit of breaking news here. This is from McClatchy. Which is like AP, like Reuters, fairly down the middle of the road when it comes to reporting. I don't think they have a bias one way or the other, at least not that I'm aware of. They say they are reporting that U.S. officials likely lost track of nearly 6,000 unaccompanied
migrant
kids.
Oh, boy. I thought it was 2,300.
Not 2,000. It may be closer to 6,000. So, again, we don't know what we don't know. The first draft of history is usually wrong. The situation is fluid, but this is certainly what people, what most people are talking That's about right now is what's happening at the border.
There are a couple of bills, one in the House and one in the Senate. We're going to speak with Larry Jacobs at 3:35. What do those bills say? And the president spoke a few hours ago and said he doesn't think he's happy with any of the compromises and wants a third option. I'm not sure what the third option is. Senator Cruz only had an outline of his bill online. We didn't get to hear exactly what's in it.
It sounded like border officials could keep parents longer, but they wouldn't break up the kids.
The families would
stay together. The families would stay together, but potentially longer than the current 20 days.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to talk with Larry Jacobs about that. The big buzz of the day is this heart-wrenching audio that was released by ProPublica. ProPublica, again, another online news organization, published what it said was a recording made inside one of the facilities run by U.S. Customs and Border Protection, where children that were taken from their parents are housed. CBS hasn't independently identified the exact source of this. This is from ProPublica. And the editor of ProPublica said this was given to them by a source, by a whistleblower that was inside. And he couldn't identify the client or the whistleblower. I'm sorry, it's a woman who, Jennifer Hadbury. She is a civil rights attorney. She's worked on border control issues for decades. She told The Washington Post the audio came from a whistleblower who had approached her for legal advice. She declined to answer questions about the facility, where it was from, citing the client's privacy. She said, I can't do anything that will identify the client. I'm not going to snitch out a whistleblower. But she claims it's from inside one of these detention centers. The question, we're going to play it for you, yes. The question becomes then, does it change your mind? Hearing, and if we trust that ProPublica really got it from inside one of these facilities,
mm-hmm.
hearing what you're about to hear, does it change anything for you? Did it change anything for you, Paul?
Well, it made it more vivid and impactful. I mean, you read this, but until you actually hear it, and that's what we do on the radio, right? We play sound.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, if it doesn't tug at your heartstrings, something's wrong.
We're going to take calls on this after the break. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. We're going to play now what ProPublica says is audio from inside one of the Border Patrol's detention agencies, and we will talk with you about it after the break.
¿Y tú?
Guatemala.
No llores. Vas a llegar con... Mira, ella te va a explicar y te va a ayudar. ¿Cierto, consulado?
¿Qué va a pasar con su consulado?
El papá. Papá.
Yo
con mi tía, por lo menos, para que después llegue.
¿Puedes abrir la puerta?
¿Alguien
cerró la puerta?
Ay, no, que me venga a traer mi tía para llevarla.
Ella llama a tu tía si tú tienes el número y habla con tu tía.
Tengo el número de ella.
Ah, pues ahorita ella te ayuda para que hable. Ay,
papá.
Cálmate, mamá.
Ay, papá.
Voy por aquí, niña.
Ay, papá.
Cuando saquen la comida.
Ay, sí. No, papá.
Cuando
saquen la comida.
Ya voy a llegar yo cuando sea ya.
Ya le voy a meter a comer.
Ay, papá. Ay, papá.
Si tiene una celda, me la da, por favor.
Welcome back. It's 3:24, not 5:24. I don't want to rush the day away. Dan's in Minneapolis. Dan is reacting to some of the audio that ProPublica released today inside one of the Border Patrol detention agencies of the children. Hi, Dan. Welcome to the program.
Hi there. Thank you. Sounds to me like that audio could be any one of numerous child daycare center drop-offs in the morning, too. Right.
Well, it could, but it came from from a lawyer that got it from inside a detention center. So, yes.
Correct. Kids like that miss their parents and everything. Every morning they get dropped off. I don't agree with a lot of Trump's policies. I do agree with this one, staying firm on this one.
So you're all for separating the kids from the parents?
Well, they they know they should know the laws. We are not going to have camps here, and yes, I do. Yep.
Dan, are you a father?
Yes, I am. Grandson and two adult children.
So, as a father, you can perhaps empathize a little bit, regardless of, you know, coming here legally, illegally. It doesn't move you emotionally in any way.
Yes, it does some. But you know, we've got to draw the line somewhere, correct? And he is taking a stand on this, and this is one of the things I disagree with him.
Do you think this is Congress's fault? I mean, do our congressmen and women and senators need to get more serious and try to find an immigration policy that actually works?
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
All right. Okay. Thanks for the calls, Dan.
Appreciate it, Dan.
Let's see. Let's go to Jack and Hugo. Hi, Jack.
Hey, Jack.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call. I am a father, and I have complete empathy when you hear that. You're not human if you don't when you listen to that. But I'm also wondering that the same media outlets that put this out and the same people that are outraged at this are not as outraged with the millions of the voices of the unborn that are aborted every year, that mm-hmm. that those voices are not being heard.
And you know what? They are, Jack. I appreciate the call. We have lots of anti-abortion rallies. People talk about that all the time on the radio. Thanks for calling in, Jack. I appreciate it. Patty's in South Minneapolis. Hi, Patty.
Hi. I just wanted to say, listening to that tape, and I felt this way for the last several days, I feel like my country more and more reflects my values less and less, and it deeply saddens me.
What do you think should be done, Patty?
I don't know. But I think treating people like human beings is a good start.
Yes, Patty. Oh, sweetheart. Okay. Amen. Preach it, sister.
Even across the world, there's so many refugees and people seeking asylum. And I feel like my country's like on the wrong path. I don't know what to do to put it back on the right one. But I feel like more and more they reflect my values less and less.
Patty, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Patty.
We appreciate it. Mike's in Eagan, trying to get you guys all in here. Hi, Mike.
Hello. I guess I would just like to see, I would like you guys, since you have such a big platform, to take that same tape and have our two senators listen to it and then ask them why they can't get together across the and get legislation done. Like call a 24-hour or 48-hour meeting in the Senate and say, we're not leaving here. Bring in the pizza. We're not leaving until we get legislation. But instead, they seem to be able to skate. Chuck Schumer keeps them under his thumb, and our senators just are silent. They just want to blame Trump, which is fine. They can blame Trump, and Trump can blame them, but nothing gets happened. Nothing ever happened.
Mike, great call. And you are spot on.
The
you
paralysis
are spot on.
Continues.
Mm-hmm. You're, yep. you're right. We
Thank
need
you, Mike.
Solutions. We need to stop the blame. We need to stop doing this to families. We need solutions. There are two bills, one in the House, one in the Senate. We're going to talk
and
about
there's
those
even a
two.
Third option. Sponsored by Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that with Larry Jacobs. Let's take one more. And by the way, Susan's telling me we do have some more sweet tickets to give away. We're going to be talking about this the whole show, but really interesting, thoughtful calls. Good calls on both sides of the aisle will win the tickets. Let's see who are we going to take next. Let's see. David's been waiting on the line in River Falls. Hi, David.
Hey, Dave.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. Thanks for calling in. What do you make of all this?
Well, I'm what's known as a Vietnam era veteran.
I signed up voluntarily during
the Vietnam when it was going on. This is not the country that I swore to protect. My country doesn't do this to children.
Oh, David. Thank you for your call, and
thank you for your service.
David, do you want to come to the Twins game with us on July 6th?
What day is it?
It's a Friday. Friday at 7:10.
Unfortunately, I won't be able to. I have to work.
Well, I would love to have go to a Twins game with you sometime.
Another time, David.
A true patriot.
I appreciate the call. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your eloquence.
Thank you, David.
Thank you. Bye.
Let's try and sneak in at least one more call. Oh, they hung up? No, Aaron. Let's take Aaron Lindstrom. Hi. We'll try to get him one more call. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, Aaron.
Thank you for the excellent show today. And I'd just like to comment on Patty and the last caller. This is not the America I grew up in. This is not what I expect from the government. This is not what I want to see. You know, when I see Stephen Miller talk about obedience to the president and toning, you know, carrying the tone of the Trump era, this is not my country anymore. And to see these kids separated, I've traveled Guatemala, I've traveled Honduras, we've traveled all over down there. And all these people want is a better life. And by all means, you know, put them in a holding area with their families, allow them a fair and just treatment. This is deplorable. The rest of the world is watching. How can we deal with this way? Stephen Miller, he dictated what we're doing. So did Jeff Sessions. These people don't deserve to have the job they have.
Not only the rest of the world, Aaron, our children are watching. Our children are watching.
Thank you.
Happening. Yeah, we're accountable.
Aaron, stay on the line, okay? Stay on the line.
Thank you, Aaron.
Talk to Susan for a little
bit.
Thank you. Yeah, you got it. It's a hard situation. But hopefully this will push us toward solutions.
It sure seems like we're moving rapidly in that direction because the current path is unsustainable for Congress and for the administration, according to a lot of alleged experts. Mm-hmm. I mean, this just can't continue.
It cannot. And it can't morally. It can't continue.
And coming up after the break, Larry Jacobs from the Center for the Study of Politics and Governance at the Humphrey Institute is going to break down the various bills. Are we making progress? You know, can we get this in our rearview mirror? That's coming up next on CCO. All right.
Welcome back.
Deep breaths.
Yep. This is it's a tough conversation.
This is tough. I think a lot of people, myself included, feel disoriented. And a lot of conservatives, people with, you know, politics that maybe leans in one direction, are just shaking their heads in wonder. Over this policy. Mm-hmm. Is Congress going to rally? Are we going to get a bill passed? Are we going to come up with a coherent immigration policy
that we can get done quickly?
That doesn't separate families.
Right.
That
yet stops illegal immigration, or at least stems it, or manages it. We've gone so long with such with very little policy. I'm not saying people were, it wasn't open borders, but it was just poorly executed.
It's coming to a head. We're here. Mm-hmm. So something has to happen. And with us to break this down and provide some much needed perspective and context is Larry Jacobs.
Larry. Yeah, that's a tall order, Larry.
I know. Larry is the director of the Center for the Study of Politics and Governance at the Humphrey Institute. And we sure appreciate you joining us on a tough day.
Hi, Larry.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, how are you?
Well, good. I mean, people are riled up over this. And what is your reaction? And are you a father? I mean, does this strike a chord with you, or can you be analytical?
I can do both. But there's no doubt when you see the pictures of weeping children being pulled from their parents, it's a horror. I mean, if we saw this, you know, in another country, we'd be rallying for the president to intervene and stop it. And we have done that in the past. And to see the first ladies coming out and saying this was immoral and heartbreaking and had to stop, that was really breathtaking. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen that in my lifetime.
Larry, there's supposed to be two bills, one in the House, one in the Senate, today to somehow solve this problem. Can you shake those two out for us?
Well, there are different things going on here, and just to cut to the bottom line, it's unlikely that anything's going to pass.
Why? Why can't we figure this out?
Because you've got very different groups of members of Congress. In the House, you've got a very conservative group who basically want to put up the wall. They want to stop the immigration, and they're the people who are in power. And they've been voting on and in the process of repassing legislation that would really cut off legal immigration, would cut off asylum, would continue this policy of separating families. The Senate is more, I would say, in line with the vast majority of Americans. They want to put an end to this family separation. But what we've seen again and again is you get a more moderate bill coming out of the Senate, and then it collides with pretty radical proposals in the House.
Is it the Freedom? Freedom Caucus
is very important. This is a group of 2-3 dozen ultra-conservative members of the House, and it's really almost impossible to pass legislation if they're not on board. There was talk about 2 weeks ago about moderate members of the House and the Republican Party who were facing a significant threat of losing their seats come November, and they were pushing for more moderate legislation, and they were basically just flattened. They were just run over. And now what we've seen are bills that are pretty conservative. There's a conservative bill, and then there's an ultra-conservative bill. But
what about Ted Cruz's attempt?
Well, you know, I think Ted Cruz is someone to keep an eye on.
Just to give some background, his bill wants to speed up the court proceedings to no more than 14 days. He says the kids belong with their families, but we need to process them quicker. That seems to make sense, Larry.
Yeah, and we have seen in the past administrations pursue a whole lot of different strategies. Even the Trump administration had strategies different from separating families before April. But we've seen, different attempts to avoid this horror. Speeding up the process, yeah, now we have to get into how you're going to do that. And that's going to be expensive, and it's going to require, you know, money, and it's going to require an expansion of the legal process as well as the parts that go around that.
Isn't there a lot of head shaking right now within the GOP? Because my understanding is the GOP wants to talk about the economy, which is doing pretty well. Unemployment is pretty low. The tax cut, you know, re-energizing a lot of businesses that are hiring. I mean, the complaint I hear from my buddies who run businesses is they can't find people to fill these positions. So isn't that what the GOP would rather be talking about, especially as we get closer to the midterms than this immigration problem?
So here's the question. Who is the GOP?
Good question.
I mean that seriously.
Good question.
I completely agree with you. In fact, let's say it was Marco Rubio who's president. You know, the likelihood is Republicans would be in a very strong position to hold their majorities in Congress because he'd be getting out of the way of the booming economy and the feel-good America and just letting those good breezes fill up their sails and head straight into the midterm elections. But now you've got a party that's really being driven by Donald Trump, who's got a pretty radical approach to immigration, and that is increasingly the party, particularly in the House of Representatives.
Larry, we're speaking with Larry Jacobs, director of the Center for Study of Politics and Governance at the Humphrey Institute. Larry, what would the perfect bill look like that would pass and get this done?
To be honest with you, I don't think it exists. Because you've got, I mean, what's been done in the House doesn't include any Democrats.
Mm-hmm. And if you could draft it, Larry, what needs to be in it to satisfy both sides?
Well, this issue has been worked on for decades. Mm-hmm. You had President George W. Bush, who put forward a pretty good bill, and the basic and Barack Obama put together a bill too. And the basic components were more security, a crackdown at the border, and that has been done to some extent, and we've seen a significant slowing down of immigration, illegal immigration across the border, along with efforts to create some kind of legal path for these kids who grew up in America, mm-hmm. Who were brought here by their parents, known as the Dreamers,
yes.
As well as a legal path for others. That's the basic outlines of the bipartisan legislation that's been talked about for several decades.
Larry.
But Donald Trump does not buy that. And I'd say the majority in the House wouldn't support it.
But at the end of the day, we have to figure this out. There's a story out now in The Guardian, a record 68.5 million people are fleeing war or persecution worldwide. We have 68 million potential refugees. One in every 110 people worldwide is displaced. So, you know, is this the tip of the iceberg? Due to a variety of reasons, we need to figure out a logical, coherent strategy. And I know Europe is going through this, too.
Larry, before we go, because we're out of time, but is he going to get his wall?
Is he going to get what?
His wall.
He could get his wall. I think there's support for a compromise that was, and there's already been some support. The Democrats say it's not a wall, but it looks like a wall.
Right.
Well, he wants $25 billion, right?
And he's not going to get $25 billion right off the bat. But I think there's a way to compromise. It gets part of the wall, but the legislation that the House is pushing would actually reduce the immigration and would really cut off these humanitarian cases coming out of, let's say, Central America.
Right.
There's a lot of violence and disruption.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really in a pickle right now.
It's a bind. I don't know what the solution is, but you've given us some food for thought. Larry Jacobs, the director of the Center for the Study of Politics and Governance at the Humphrey Institute. We hope you'll come back so we can confuse each other even more and search for solutions together.
Thanks, Larry.
Yeah, take care.
It's hard.
There's no easy Everybody
solution.
Wants a silver bullet solution
but
here.
But let me tell you, I'd vote for the wall if we could figure this out. I'd vote for the wall if the Dreamers could get a path to citizenship. I'd vote for the wall if we could process people faster and then either send them home or bring them in if they are legitimately looking for
but
asylum.
But is the wall really going to stop?
I don't know, but that's what he
the
wants.
The influx.
Well,
no,
I
understand that. But
you know, but if the other side gets
work?
A more reasonable policy in place to not separate kids from families, to not deport Dreamers, kids who were raised here, then give them his wall.
People still want to come to America. I mean, we still have that halo. Whether we deserve the halo, I guess, depends on the day.
It's a tough conversation, only because there really isn't a viable solution right now. Maybe when presented with a viable solution to immigration, this will get a little more palatable.
But we have Congress and we have the Senate, and they will find a way. I have faith in the swamp. They will rise above the swamp, put aside petty partisan differences, and do something that's actually good for the American people. I have faith.
I appreciate it.
I'm also heavily medicated right
You'll
now.
You'll have to have it for both of us. Oh,
God,
always an optimist. I absolutely love that. Here's what Paul and I were talking about today. Let's say that President Trump gets the wall. And apparently Mexico's never going to pay for it, so you're going to pay for it, and I'm going to pay for it. So let's say he gets his wall. No more immigrants. That's it. We're done. We're going to turn away people who want asylum.
No more illegal immigrants.
Even those who want asylum. We're going to no more domestic violence.
Right.
No more gang violence.
We're closed.
Pretty closed.
The store is closed.
Unless you're a victim of the government in your country. We're closed.
Okay? Or if you're really, really smart.
I guess. Yes, that's right. Merit-based. Okay. But that's merit-based.
Or you
want to
bring money you want to invest in the United States, bring a company
Different
in,
story.
Start a company, whatever.
What happens to our economy post-wall? What happens, and let's be real, with all the blue-collar jobs that you don't want to do, what happens to the people stacking boxes or working the service industry? What happens? The lawn care workers, the roofers, what happens to our economy if we don't have immigrants 10 years, 5 years from now?
We're going to be doing all those jobs because there will be no Social Security. We'll be working well into our 80s and 90s.
We're talking to economists about that tomorrow. Stay tuned for that conversation. Now the news.